HawkFanatic.com is brought to you by Patrick Eads and everyone at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek. Great dealership, great service department, too. Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. He's my mouthpiece. Mike's E-Keys for Cars. GT Cars crew at Supple's Building and Remodeling. Supple's Flowers, home of 1-800-800-ROSE. The Midtown Family Restaurants. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City. Senior Benefits. Wells Fargo Advisors. Premier Automotive in North Liberty. The Oxyoke Inn of the Amanas. Streets Maintenance. Dr. Lance Forbes, Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids. And Big Dog Tech Solutions. Here's Tom Suter and, from HawkFanatic.com, Pat Hardy.
Yes, indeed. Another beautiful day, boys.
I saw you filled the potholes.
Well, more specifically, Corey Braverman filled Corey, the potholes.
Corey Braverman. Way to go, Corey.
And we'll have to get the rock ordered.
Yeah.
Oh, I always hate that. That's brutal on the cars, the new rock.
Yes, it is.
And the tires. Brutal on both.
No, we could leave it like it is. I'd rather have a rainstorm.
But whenever I take my car and they're like, you drive on gravel road, don't you? And I'm like, gee, what's your first hint? And they're like, well, the underneath is all white.
Yeah.
It just, that's the.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, there's nothing to tell me. I'm
there's
just telling
nothing
you.
To tell you.
I'm just telling you that.
I have nothing to tell you.
Which is rare.
Nothing. Nothing.
Zero.
You not having something to say is extremely rare. But yeah, here we are.
So,
we are going to have Iowa Steeplechase NCAA qualifier.
Did you say it's Knepp?
Okay, well, he'll Bettendorf native, and I've always been kind of interested in the steeplechase because it just seems like such a weird event.
It is, and
hey, let's put this water thing in here. And you got it's just strange,
yeah,
and hard.
And I got to think too. After you land in that water, it can't be any fun to run.
Well, he'll tell us that, and he's broke the school record twice. He finished fifth at the Big Tens, and I don't believe steeplechase is not an Iowa high school sanctioned sport. I'm almost certain, or maybe it is. I could be wrong. If somebody knows for sure, it didn't used to be.
Well, he'll be able to tell us.
He'll be able to, yeah, he's from Bettendorf. And we'll have him on at 9:30 and looking forward to that. And interesting, and I'll see if he knows, the 1980 NCAA steeplechase champion is an Iowa City native, City High grad, who didn't go to Iowa because Iowa didn't recruit him. He went to Wisconsin. Randy Jackson, you've heard that name, Suter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a track star at City High. He won the 1980 NCAA steeplechase. We'll see if, I'm guessing Luke probably doesn't know that.
Well, that'll be a little nugget you can lay on him if he does. I'm sure he knows.
This is like, okay, the obstacles of the race.
Water, hurdles.
Athletes must jump over 28 fixed wooden or metal barriers. And clear 7 water jumps.
Yeah, it's not. The only thing worse is if they had like people trying to tackle them while they're running through this thing.
And the water jumps, they generally frequently land in.
Oh, right in it, especially as the race progresses.
Well, the barriers are heavy, fixed, and don't fall over if an athlete clips them.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is a lot of them jump onto the barrier and then catapult off the barrier, which is about. No, it'll be interesting just talking to him about running this type of race, because I've always been fascinated by it. And I went back and looked at that video of Randy Jackson winning that thing. There's something on YouTube it's really grainy. You can barely, it's like they're running in sand, but there is something up there, and that's a brutal race. How many meters is it?
3,000.
That's what I thought, 3,000. Yeah. So it's 3,000 meters is already hard enough to run, but hey, let's throw water, hurdles.
And 27 dangerous.
And the water pit is
fixed hurdles.
The water pit is
dangerous.
Yeah, and deep.
Can you imagine if the water pit was like 15 feet deep? They had to do it and then swim back up every time.
Well, they're not deep, but.
Well, they're at least about 6 inches, I think, aren't they? Enough to where the foot gets fully submerged.
Fully.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you imagine running them with wet?
No.
Well, what is 3.66? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. This is AI.
But I'm always amazed when you see the water splash when they land in it. But no, this will be fun talking to them, something different. And track and field, this is it. All they got left is the NCAAs. And then the 25-26 sports calendar year is over.
God, that's just crazy.
It really is crazy.
And then as that takes place, the basketball teams are gearing up for their first practices.
Yeah, and I was talking to Iowa where they're going to we'll get some access in June and July to both football and basketball and women's basketball like they've done the last few years. They always make the women usually make half the team available one time, then the other half in June and July. And so yeah, I remember covering the beat when Iowa never used to do stuff like that, but now you have to in this day and age. Yeah. Social media, there's so much access. So yeah, we'll get football probably twice this summer. And women's and men's basketball probably once or twice this summer, just like they've been doing.
It'll be hard to top Ava. She was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she'll be a big hit during these interviews this summer, too. Yeah, no, Ava's a fun interview. It'll be interesting to, you know, get to interview the new kids on the block. And there's five of them. No, six of them, actually, six. So, yeah, that'll be fun. And football, there's a kind of a new wave of football players, especially on defense, coming up now. Kind of taking center stage, so that'll be fun too.
Yep. So let's see, in the Caitlin Clark Sega saga.
I tweeted something the other day. Now I got weirdo Caitlin experts reaching out to me on Twitter, just ripping me. And then I go to respond, and it says you can't. I don't know if they delete it. They're not blocking. One of them blocked me even before I had a chance. Some lady Christian fighter. You know, I mean, just all her thing had everything. And one of them was, his title literally said Caitlin Clark Podcaster, award-winning podcaster. Wow. Has like 1,500 followers, just ripping me. And because he's like, she was talking about the media. She wasn't talking about us fans. Caitlin knows we got her back. And she was talking about everybody who's fans, media, who are pushing these stupid conspiracy theories. But some of her fans are weirdos.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of anybody's fans are weirdos.
Yeah, no, you're right. And social media just allows them to just feed off that weirdness and to push it and display it. And that, ugh. I would have thanked the lady who blocked me, but I can't because she blocked me. I'd never seen her before in my life, and I'll never see her again. But I guess you can't have an opinion about Caitlin Clark that she doesn't agree with. These people thought I was taking shots at her, some of her fans. Well, I was.
Well, I posted from WISH in Indianapolis her statement.
Well, yeah, it was all over the place.
It's her statement and then Stephanie White's statement.
Well, it wasn't a statement. It was an interview.
Yeah.
But she was interviewed for a long time. Yeah.
And so we posted it.
But they're all saying they're lying. They're not going to air their dirty laundry.
Well, somebody accused us of you. It's AI.
Well, I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, it was everywhere. The big thing is, well, they're not going to air their dirty laundry out in public. Okay, fair enough. Maybe they're not, but I don't think it's near as critical as people think.
Well, both of them said, how come you don't act like this when it's men? And they don't. And it happens. Men have arguments with their coaches.
Of course they do.
Yeah, no, you're right. But those get covered too. I mean, God, I mean, anything LeBron James does, if he does something people don't like, his critics are ready to pounce. So it goes both ways. The Caitlin thing, I mean, I don't know. It's just, there's just so many weirdos that have attached onto her.
It's just
on
it's
social
polarizing
media.
Again. And, you know, for some reason it's fashionable for those who don't love her. There's an equal group that hates everything she does.
And one of the guys was so, because I tweeted that, you know, I thought I had YPS, my percentage sold, and it fell through at the last second. And I tweeted that, you know, it's back for, and I've since actually heard from a few. And then one of these weirdo Caitlin, whatever you want to call him, look at this guy trying to sell his high school site while he's also ripping Caitlin's fans. This guy's just brain dead. And it's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Nothing.
I mean, he took my post, embedded it into his thing, and was pushing it like bashing Caitlin Clark fans while also trying to sell a high school site. That's a real good look. Like, that's going to impact my ability to sell YPS because some irrelevant turd on Twitter. It's just so weird what you deal with. And I didn't respond to any of them.
That's why I bailed on Twitter. I know you say you have to be there.
I got to be on there. I mean, I got to be on there. I'm hardly on there at all anymore, guys. I'm hardly ever on there anymore. I mean, some of my colleagues live on there. And hey, more power to them. That's what they do, and they probably have to. And some of them love the attention. You know, they judge themselves on followers and, you know, and I love the people that, what do you know? You've only got 81 followers, you know. But this podcast guy was trying, he's got this Twitter profile, something CDS, award-winning podcast. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. And wouldn't you find 1,500 followers a little weird if you're just, you want to portray some big network giant and you've got that few followers? That seems a little weird.
Doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
Especially for somebody I looked, he's just nonstop tweets.
When I was on Twitter with an account, I think I ended up at, I don't know, like 3,100 or something. I don't know.
But you were never a big Twitter.
And I ended up.
I mean, I've got
3,100.
I've got like 12 something. I lost a ton during some of the Iowa football, like the David Porter stuff. Yeah. I lost like 5,000. I mean, if I hadn't have like actually written how I feel about certain things, I'd probably have close. But I don't care. I offended some Iowa fans with some of the stuff I wrote about racial stuff, their way of punishing me was to not follow me, which is, that's their prerogative, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, and a lot of the ones, and then I also block a ton, and some block me too, because I'm not on, I don't care how many Twitter followers I have, you know?
I posted a picture of my raccoon and the cat staring down, and last night, one day you're going to go outside and that raccoon's going to claw your eyes out. And that's what that was the comment.
Nice.
He was probably joking a little bit, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, why people can't ignore stuff like that. I mean, people do what you, there's, you see tons of people doing stuff like that. Put the pictures of animals and stuff like that. Just ignore them. I don't know why people feel the need to comment on stuff like that.
People feel the need to comment on everything.
On everything.
Everybody wants attention. That's what this. Everybody just is obsessed with their own brand and wants attention. Everybody is fascinated with themselves. That's what it seems like social media has done. Yeah. You know, you'll see some profile and it's this guy's fighting for the soul and the heart of this nation, front line, you know, and you look and see
then he lost.
Well, and yeah, it's just.
It's exhausting.
But yeah, the Caitlin Clark stuff is exhausting. When do they play again tomorrow?
Yeah.
Hopefully they win and she plays well and they can shut up for a while. Who do they play?
The Atlanta Dream.
Are they good?
Yes, they're playing very well.
Where is it?
Atlanta. They're hosting, so it's at Indiana.
Okay, so if they lose and she struggles, it's going to be more of the same.
Is that on Prime?
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, if they lose and she struggles, it will be, the stuff will just escalate, because that's just the way it is.
Well, and if she wins and plays well, it's still going to be, she's not consistent.
There's always going to be
ball hog.
There's always going to be criticism of her, because that just seems to be what some people feed off.
Well, they criticize LeBron, you know.
They do.
I mean, even when he, you know, hey, just build a school. Yeah,
Michael at his peak was about the only one that did. He seemed like he was Teflon to about everybody. You know, I mean, there were rumors about, you know, his gambling and all that stuff and all why he left to go play baseball. He, you know, who knows? Only he and others know what the truth is. Remember they were saying he left because he was forced to leave NBA because of gambling. I don't believe any of that stuff, but that was a big, strong rumor back then. And what have you. So,
well, he said he gambled.
He gambled a ton.
It wasn't like he's trying to hide it.
No, but I think people wanted to make it out to be more than.
Yeah.
Because that was about the only way they could try to bring him down at his peak, because nobody could stop him. But you asked about Caitlin, and there we are. I mean, what did they play? Two games in like 13? They played like one game a week now recently, haven't they?
Well, recently.
What a weird schedule.
And then they had three games in five days. No, it's ridiculous.
How does your body get any rhythm? I mean, they played three games in 5 days. Now they're playing two games in 14 days.
That's insane.
That doesn't make any sense. Now, if she does have back issues, this should help.
It should.
You would think, but who knows? I mean, so we'll see. So what channel is it on tomorrow?
Prime.
Oh, so I can't watch it. We'll have to live without Caitlin.
You might be able to. They might shove it on a YouTube.
Well, so, it seems like every time I'm told that it's on something I can't watch, and there it is right there on YouTube.
YouTube TV.
Yeah. Why do I have Peacock?
I don't know. YouTube TV made me sign in again yesterday twice.
It's annoying, isn't it?
I have to do that almost. You mean where it goes back to the red, then you click on YouTube, and then it takes you back to the blue thing? That happens to me almost once a day.
No, it made me sign in, and I'm, you know, so and I signed in, and then I got off of it, and later on I signed in, and again.
Facebook is doing that. Like, I had to do my, you know, your fingerprint thing.
I
had to do that, had to do a QR code. You know, your site's not worth it.
Well, if I fall asleep, I'll wake up oftentimes at 2 in the morning, and my YouTube will be on, and it'll be back at the home. I'll have to click on YouTube again. That happens to me every day.
But YouTube TV is funny. Okay, so I had it on. You know, I'm not basically, I have it on for sound and company, and I'm not really watching the shows anymore. I just can't concentrate right now.
Uh-huh.
So I got it going, and it was on Sundance, and Law and Orders were just playing. And then YouTube TV, you know, asked, are you still watching that? You know, and I looked up and I clicked yes. And then a couple hours later, you're not still watching this, are you? I mean, they got a sense of humor.
I've never had that happen to me.
No.
That's what.
And there's been days where I've watched, you know, Rockford Files for 8 hours. They had a marathon last week. I watched
it asked me that.
But no, mine boots me off almost every day. I got to get back on.
Not yesterday, but the day before.
It says I run out of it's running out of bandwidth or whatever, and I basically just have to sign. You told me a while back it's because I haven't done something in settings that you've done to prevent that. That's what you said a while
back.
Well,
it'll, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm just going by what you said.
You got to. You set it to...
And I, you know, if I have to reboot once a day, I don't care.
But you can set it to where it
but doesn't. You said you did that, and it's booting you off.
No, it didn't boot me off. It asked me if I wanted to stay on.
Oh, you said it signed you off twice.
Oh, no, that's completely different. I was going on to it. It didn't sign me off. I was trying to get on to it. I clicked on YouTube TV... like I normally do on the screen,
mm-hmm.
and usually it just comes up.
Right. Well,
but this time you had to punch the blue button. It does that with me every time.
Yeah, I had to sign in. And I'm.
Well, when you say sign in, all it is punching the blue button.
No.
That's all it is for me. I've never.
You had to put in your password and stuff?
Oh, yeah, I've never had.
I had to, yeah, and it has it saved and everything, but I had to, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I've never had to do that.
The password is saved, but I still have to.
Since I've been signed in, all I have to do is get back. I have to punch that blue button that says my name, and then I'm back on. I've never had to do my password.
No, I had to. The first time I had to do a QR code.
God, that's annoying.
Yeah. That's the first time, but then the second time. It just made me sign in again. It didn't ask.
God, I don't even know my password. I'd have to. It's written down somewhere. I don't even know where it is. So hopefully that won't happen to me again. Because like I said, a friend of mine signed me on, but I've got it written down somewhere. But no. Every day I get booted off, and then I just have to click on. It takes me back to the homepage. I click on YouTube again, the little blue thing with my profile. Click on that, and I'm back on. But it does that at least once a day.
But if you get into settings, you can stop.
Yeah, yeah, I won't. I will say before we have, I got to give you Luke's number. We'll talk about it later. I got an issue. I've lived here since 1991. I've never had any issues with the city of Iowa City, but there could be one coming up because I'm pissed. I'll see what you guys. They're doing the sidewalk repair stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I get it. Although I think it's a little expensive. $350 a square. That's a little.
Seems a bit high. But it was like $250.
10 years ago. They do it every 10 years ago. They do it every 10 years. They recycle through every. It's on a 10-year cycle. They did mine 10 years ago. The one of the ones they're doing now, they did it 10 years ago. And 5 days after they poured the concrete, I called them. I'm like, this isn't looking right. It's just, it doesn't look like the concrete settled. It's just not looking like the other one you did. There's something wrong with it. Okay, well, you know, looking at. Week goes by, I hear nothing. This next time, I took a picture of it and email and sent it to them. I'm like, guys, this is not looking right. This thing is starting to already unravel. The cement was just not mixed right. And okay, well, looking at it, never heard from them again. And then, of course, out of sight, out of mind, I lost interest in it. And now here we are, again, and I'm having to repair the exact same one that was defective from the moment they did it 10 years ago, and I just don't think I should have to pay for that, especially after I told them it wasn't right.
Well, you probably shouldn't.
But they told me, well, that's the contractor that's responsible for that. But that's like somebody, that's like you hiring a roofer, and then a roofing company, and then they hire a contractor who screws your roof up, and then you call the roof. Well, the contractor, that's not our responsibility. I don't agree. And then the other one I'm battling with them in is the part that they repaired, I'm under the impression it's part of an easement. There's a big drainage thing right in front of it, and they told me there's never been an easement there. Well, my next-door neighbor who moved in 1991, she went back and found her original contract, and it says entry 2-7. Permanent easement drainage ditch. No, you can't build any permanent structures on there. And she said they tried to do a two-car garage, and they were denied by the city years ago because they're like, it stretches onto the easement. You can't build. Now they're telling me there's never been an easement. I'm going to have to pay $1,400 altogether. It's going to cost me for sidewalk repair. And I just think it's ridiculous.
Well, it is. But if you want to take them to court, imagine how much it's going to cost you.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But I'm hoping that they... the easement one, it'll be interesting. If it's in writing, it's in writing. And I've got the text message right here. She sent me the text message that showed in her contract the easement was right between her house and my house. It used to be a creek. They got rid of the creek. And now there's this big, massive drainage ditch down there where all the water goes when it rains hard. And supposedly now they're saying that's my land. I've never been told in 19 years that that was my land. When I moved in, they're like, hey, this is an easement. Your only responsibility is you have to make sure it's accessible. You have to clear a path, which, okay, fair enough. But now they're saying this has been my land all this time, and that's not what I was told when I moved in and not what my neighbor was told when they moved in 1991. So it's going to be interesting. I'm just waiting to hear back from the city. Now, they haven't billed me yet, but... But the one, though, that's defective, and I've had two neighbors even tell me, they're like, you know, that didn't look right the first time. I had a neighbor tell me yesterday, he goes, that didn't look right the first time they fixed it. I remember I walked on it, and like a week after you got it done, it was already falling apart. And I'm like, thank you. That's part of my whole. So we'll see. I've been told it's going to be futile, that they're not going to budge, but I'm at least going to share
your frustration.
And if they are difficult to deal with, then I can just rip the city for the rest of the time on the radio. Seriously, that's how I look. I've never had any issues with the city before, but this, especially the easement one, we'll see. The one, though, that was defective, and I tried to get them, even, and the lady asked me, so do you still, I'm like, ma'am, that was 7 cell phones ago. That was 11 years ago, 10 years ago. No, I don't still have. And but I even sent them a photo showing, hey, this isn't right, guys. And now here I am. And by the time they went to repair it, it was in horrible condition. All right, let me give you this sheet.
Gonna give the number. So we're gonna be talking to Iowa program record holder Luke Knepp, the 3,000 meter steeplechase record holder.
Iowa record holder.
Finished fifth at the Big Ten. The men finished 7th at the Big Ten, so this should be fun. I have never talked to a steeplechaser before.
I have. My tax guy, Randy Jackson's my income tax guy.
Oh, is he
guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
That's how I got to know him. But I had already heard, when I moved up here in 1991, I would hear the name, well, that's a record, that's ranked second all time behind Randy Jackson. That ranked second all time. I kept hearing the name Randy Jackson for distance running at City High when I moved up here. And I used to cover a lot of high school track in the early, mid-90s. And so, this thing, it's going to be interesting. This sidewalk thing has just got me really frustrated.
Well, I can see why.
And I've never really had any issues with the city before. Now, had I not tried to do anything when I saw that that was defective, fair enough. But I tried, I mean, I pursued it.
The caller's just going to have to wait a long time.
Okay, we got Luke.
I got Luke Knepp is on the line.
All right, joining us this morning is...
It is Knepp, is that...
It's Knepp.
Knepp, okay.
Okay, is Luke Knepp... He's an Iowa record holder in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. And, Luke, the first thing I want to ask you, I love the Olympics. I love seeing the sports that you don't normally see. And steeplechase has always fascinated me because it just seems like such an unlikely collection of things that you have to do to compete. So what in the world is it that got you interested in steeplechase?
My coach was a steeplechase runner in college, so he kind of always invites you to look into it when you come onto campus as a freshman, and I decided that I wanted to try it out before I went to under 20 meet, and it worked out because I ended up being pretty good at it, and kind of just stuck with it ever since.
I know, Luke. You're from Pleasant Valley. You went to Pleasant Valley High School, and you're from Bettendorf, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep,
so right. Did you? Growing up in track, I know it's not steeplechase isn't a sanctioned Iowa high school sport, is it? Or event?
No.
Okay. So did you ever see much of it? I mean, if you're in Iowa and you're a young kid and you want to start doing the steeplechase, how do you do it? Where do you do it?
It's not really even a thing. There might be some AAU circuit stuff or USATF, but in high school, yeah, I was just a normal distance runner. I guess I still am now. I do cross country and indoor track, but then when you move to outdoor, I primarily focus on the steeplechase. Okay. So, I guess just people who think they want to try it out, give it a shot in college because that's about the first opportunity.
Okay, so when you run cross, you do steeplechase, and then you go back to cross country. How easy is a cross country race, knowing that you don't have to jump over water, jump over barriers? I mean, the first time you started doing both, what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, cross country is still a lot harder for me. I'm not the best on running on the grass and the hills, but I like the change of getting to run on the flat track and then going to the steeplechase where I'm jumping over stuff, and then going to the cross country season where I get to run with all my teammates, and I like it all.
So have you ever hit one of the barriers and gone down, or is it something you just know how to do it and just zip right through?
I've never gone down in a race, fortunately. I did go down in practice. I was at meet, I was telling you about the under 20 U.S. championships on my pre-meet. I went down because some kids cut in front of me. I just left with a little bit of a sore hip, but then the next day turned out fine.
We were talking before you were on. How deep is the water that you guys sometimes clear? But it's, most of the times you land in the water, don't you, or am I wrong?
Yeah. I don't know the exact dimensions of it, but it's on a slant.
Okay.
So it might be like six, the water might be 6 feet out from the barrier. Mm-hmm. And at the end, it's up to flush with the ground, but if you land directly in the water, it's about 2 feet deep, maybe. So halfway up the thigh. So you definitely want to push off the barrier and get out there, else you're swimming.
So how annoying is it to get your shoes filled with water and then you have to keep running?
I don't notice it too much, to be honest. Really? A lot of the better steeplers, you're pushing out, so you're only landing about an inch to 2 inches of water, and then you're kind of out of there in a quick second, so your feet aren't too wet.
So obviously there's multiple keys to running steeplechase, but to catapult off the barrier, when I watch, it seems like that's the big thing, to be able to hit that barrier right when you need to. Can you talk about what just the keys to being good at the steeplechase and how important it is to have that right launch off the barrier?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the most important aspects of the race. Being able to just run a distance race in general and not get fatigued by jumping over 35 barriers is definitely a problem for a lot of people. But I think I kind of thrive at it because I have a very athletic background. So just a lot of different sports like basketball and baseball, wrestling, a whole bunch of things. I feel like I've developed certain muscles and
Well, with all those sports,
don't have.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to add, with all those different sports that you played in high school, did you ever imagine, like, looking ahead that you'd be doing the steeplechase now at the University of Iowa? How surprised are you to be in this position?
Yeah, I definitely didn't plan on originally doing it. I always knew I wanted to run in college.
Okay.
So I guess I could definitely have seen myself as a runner in college, but I don't think I knew what the steeplechase was until about the start of high school, and I definitely didn't think it was for me, but turned out that was my future.
So, Luke, how important is nutrition in your events? I mean, are you able to go out and knock back a pepperoni pizza once a week with your friends, or do you have to do a strict regimen?
No, I don't really keep too tight of a diet. I'd say like all your basic stuff. I cook a lot of pasta and rice and make steaks and burgers and chicken. But like I'm never too worried about going to eat pizza or drink sodas or whatever. I definitely limit it more than the average person, but I'd say just especially with burning the amount of calories that a runner does, it's just important to get calories down. So I'm definitely not worried about eating junk food because for the most part, I'm burning it off and it's calories that I need anyways.
So do you remember the first time you ran a steeplechase from start to finish or like the very first time when they said, hey, let's try this? How weird was that to do it for the first time?
Yeah, it was definitely weird. I was redshirting my freshman year when we decided that I would try it out. And I went to a D3 meet where I'm from. And I was kind of just running with the pack for the first half. And then I felt pretty good. And then I ended up winning by like about 15 seconds. So,
wow.
we didn't know how my body would handle the steeplechase, but it handled it pretty good that first race, and kind of just ever since, it's been my thing.
I'm curious, so you're running 3,000 meters. Are there guys that maybe don't win steeplechase races because of everything it entails that could probably win a 3,000 if it was just a straight race? Do you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Can you talk about that a little bit about how that kind of separates those guys, the barriers and everything?
Yeah. A lot of the guys that I run with in the steeplechase, were running about 8.5 minutes. Some of them are running, the Oregon kid that I ran, you know, he's run 7:39 in just a normal 3K.
Okay.
My PR is only 8:04. So, over the barriers, I'm able to only add about 25, 26 seconds, but then, some of the other guys, they're really quick runners, but the barriers slow them down a bit more than I do.
Interesting.
So, there's a lot of, there's really good runners that also try out the steeple. And then there's, pretty good runners like me who are just really good at hurdling. So, it kind of all comes together. You can get better at running, get better at steepling. There's kind of two aspects to it.
So how close are you to the tippy top of the steeplechasers? How your time wise, how close are you?
I think I rank about 12th in the nation right now.
Really? Wow. Impressive.
Yeah. My coach is pulling up, like the all time Big Ten list. I think I'm ranked about 22nd. The Big Ten record is 8:20. So I'm 10 seconds off that.
Who holds the Big Ten record? Do you know?
I believe it was 8:20. I don't know exactly who had it. I know there was a guy from Oregon in like the 1970s who's still in the top three.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he has it, though.
Well, there's a guy from Wisconsin, but actually he was from Iowa City. He was a City High grad. He's actually my tax guy. He works for H&R Block. His name's Randy Jackson. He was the 1980 NCAA steeplechase champion. He ran at Wisconsin. And so that,
okay,
I
think I did see that name on the list.
Okay.
So yeah, he's definitely up there.
So I don't know if Randy's listening, but if you are, I'm sending a shout out. So, okay. What's left? I know you next week you compete. Can you, what's your state of mind going into this and what do you think you can accomplish? I mean, at the NCAA Nationals.
Yeah. So there's two, but Nationals top five from each heat qualify for the final and then the next two fastest time. So at 12, make it to the final. I'm definitely looking to make that final. And then, I definitely want to get on the podium. So top eight, once I make it to the final. And there's some guys who are clearly better than me, but I definitely still want to mix it up with a lot of them and see if I can just come out with a better day. Hopefully those two races, and then I'm going to be racing at the U.S. Championships most likely.
Okay.
At late July. That competition will be against college and pro guys. So it'll be my first experience getting to race professionals. So that'll be a good learning.
Good luck with all
sure.
of that. No, this is exciting yeah. time for you. So one last question for me, and then Tom's going to wrap it up with one last question. So are all the guys that you compete against, are they about the same as you experience-wise, or do some live in states where there was steeplechase, or do most of the people in college who compete in the steeplechase, are they basically starting from scratch? How does that work?
I'd say most are starting from scratch. There are some guys who did it in high school. I mentioned the kid from Oregon, mm-hmm. Ben Balaz. He I know for a fact that he was a steeplechase school.
Okay.
There's a couple out there, but for the most part, it's just guys like me who are coming in and deciding to try it out.
That's neat.
Yeah.
No, it's a cool story. And Luke, I want to wish you the best of luck, and we appreciate you coming on. I know you're busy. Tom, take it away. Yeah. And again, thanks a lot and good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Luke, now I got one more question for you. It has absolutely zero to do with track and field, okay? So yep. Your cell phone rings, you look down, and the name Beth Getz pops up on your phone, the Iowa Athletics Director. Pick up the phone, and she says, Luke, I need your help. We need to get a lot of money in here in a hurry. You need to hire a band and act or a singer to fill up Kinnick Stadium. Who is Luke Knepp going to hire to fill up Kinnick Stadium?
I would probably say someone like Drake right now. Feel like he's pretty popular with a lot of students, a lot of college students for sure. I feel like he could sell out Kinnick Stadium in a couple minutes.
You're not the only one who has picked Drake.
Luca Garza.
Garza did. And
didn't Caitlin Clark?
We think Caitlin did, and Connor McCaffrey and Patrick McCaffrey picked Drake. So you're in good company, Luke.
Yep.
All right, well, listen, thanks again for coming on. Good luck, safe travels, and go Hawks, right, Tom?
Go Hawks.
All right, thanks, Luke. Hawks.
Thank you.
And let's go on break. We'll be right back.
That was the one.
1-800-800-ROSE.
1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country.
1-800-800-ROSE.
It's so easy. Just remember one number. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist.
1-800-800-ROSE.
Remember.
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Pertine and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Pertine and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for three generations.
Pertine and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and PertineandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
What if your home could shine magically with just a tap? Introducing Illumilights from Big Dog Tech, the permanent smart LED lighting system that installs once and lights up your life year-round. No ladders, no hassle, just beautiful lighting that makes your home stand out day and night. Visit BigDogTech.net and schedule your free quote today. Illumilights, light up life.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. As an Iowa City native, I know how frustrating it can be when any part of your plumbing system breaks down. That's why I only use trusted brands and quality materials. I offer same-day, next-day service coupled with a fair price. I also offer general services to mobile homes. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
Streets Maintenance. Honest plumbing at a fair price.
Your life is always changing, and a lot of things can affect how and what you save. So a good retirement plan changes with your life. At Wells Fargo Advisors, we believe conversation leads to financial clarity. So start a conversation today. Wells Fargo Advisors. Together, we'll go far. For information locally, call 338-3799 or 866-217-2369. Or stop by 501 12th Avenue, Suite 201, Coralville. Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member SIPC.
On an athletic team, you need team players, good athletes, superior equipment, and the best coaches available. In real estate, you need to have a good title and settlement team at your disposal. Hi, this is Steve Anderson. Whether you're buying, selling, or refinancing, you need quality title and settlement services. Consider the team at Hawkeye Title. Give us a call at 351-8600. Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental Team provide superior care for your entire family.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years, and it works. Deer divots and dings do damage, but Premier Auto will do right by you. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Do yourself a favor. When your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier. The deer don't like Premier, but you will. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Hit a deer? Call Premier. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. Daily specials at each location, and no matter if you're coming in solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for you.
GT Carr, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit Supple's.net or call them today at 319-337-2246.
If you're looking for a trusted insurance guidance from someone who truly understands your needs, you can turn to me, Tiffany Rao, independent insurance agent. I specialize in Medicare and senior products, and I also offer coverage for those under 65 through the ACA marketplace, along with long-term care and cancer insurance plans. As a proud second-generation insurance professional, I bring local expertise and personal touch you can count on. Call me today at 319-631-4795 and let's find the coverage that's right for you.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaides and Terry Adams of Deary Brothers Ford talk about what here for you means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement here for you, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
The Oxyoke Inn is ready to serve you with the same fresh food, prepared to order, and served with a passion that you've come to expect since 1940. Serving our famous Sunday brunch buffet with lunch, dinner, family-style banquets, and carry-out daily. Reservations are easy at oxyokin.com or call for big or small tables and private rooms. We can't wait to serve you soon at the Oxyoke Inn.
The Oxyoke Inn.
In the heart of Amana.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Vote counting goes on in California in some of the biggest races on primary day. So far, only one projection on the two big races. Incumbent L.A. Mayor Karen Bass moving on to the runoff, telling her supporters,
"We have led a grassroots campaign because we want to bring change to our city, and that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're going to continue to do."
It's not clear who she may face, but it could be reality TV star Spencer Pratt, and so far no projections on the governor's race where dozens of people were running. Officials in Kuwait say dozens of people are hurt and one was killed in an Iranian attack on the country's main airport. The airport was closed for a time today, but it's since reopened. Bahrain also saying it came under attack from Iran as well. Over 400,000 Ford SUVs are being recalled. Federal officials say certain Expeditions and Lincoln Navigators from 2018 to 2022 could have an issue with their seatbelts. This is ABC News. There's been no movement in or around a bank in Bakersfield, California, where a man has been holding an unknown number of people hostage since yesterday afternoon. Two of those hostages were released, but the rest remain, says ABC's Melissa Adan.
Police receiving a call about a man making a bomb threat inside a Chase bank.
The subject possibly has a makeshift detonator and wires coming from under his shirt.
Nearby City Hall and police headquarters placed on lockdown as police negotiated with the suspect.
The subject's got people on their knees.
Authorities say the suspect held people captive inside one of the rooms in the bank, releasing two separately. An unknown number remained inside.
The 9/11 Memorial and Museum has launched a $75 million fundraising campaign as the nonprofit tries to educate millions of young people across the country who don't remember the terror attacks. Roughly 100 million Americans were born after the 9/11 attacks. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
KCJJ Weather. Brought to you by Plum Supply.
Plum Supply, kitchens and baths. Your home never looks so beautiful.
Meteorologist Rodney Price, a mostly sunny afternoon with a light south breeze. High temperatures will be warm in the middle 80s. Tonight, a mostly clear sky near 60. More warmth on tap for Thursday. Sunshine close to 90. South winds will be breezy up to 20 miles per hour. We should be dry during the day, but a chance of showers and storms moving in for Thursday night. That's the forecast on the mighty 1630 KCJJ. Currently 71 degrees.
From the Hertin and Stocker studios in the heart of the Hawkeye Nation, this is the mighty 1630 KCJJ Iowa City.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, making memories, making moments.
Back.
We're back. Yeah.
Take it away.
Where would you like us to take it?
I've done my part. The rest is, let's ride your wave. Let's ride your wave the rest of the show.
My wave.
Your emotional wave. What about, let's go back to important things. My argument with the city. You guys both think I'm going to get shot down like a quail, don't you?
Oh, I don't think they're going to pay any attention to it.
Yeah. They don't care.
Well, they're going to be—they're going to have to pay it because I'm going to call them. They may not be listening here, but I'm going to continue to call them. And they did say they're going to send somebody out to talk to me, but I haven't heard back.
Yeah. Well, good luck at that.
Yeah.
You'll be wearing a parka by the time they.
No,
come
I'll, what if I just don't? What if I just refuse to pay it? What will they do? Will they evict me?
They'll go to court.
Yeah.
They'll put a lien on your house.
Yeah, it's just, this is not right.
Can't fight City Hall, friend.
Well, you can. It's happened before. And the easement thing is going to be something I want to, if it is my land, then I want to know why I was told for the last 19 years. People could have gotten hurt on that part of the, what I thought was the easement. Yeah. Why didn't anyone let me know this was my land if that's what it turns out to be? But
I don't know. We had a fight with, I don't know. We got a double lot. So we got this empty lot right next to the house. And then there is like a little place where you can park cars.
Yeah.
We've been told, well, that's the city's. And then we've been told that's ours.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really studied the plat. So I don't, you know, and I didn't care. But Jan at one time was concerned because somebody was parking a big truck out there. And I said, I don't care.
Yeah.
And she did, and it's called the city. And
well, it's rather who's liable if something happens.
I understand, but...
Well, here's what my neighbor sent to me from her real estate deal. She lives across, or lives next door to me since 91. They've been under the impression that entry 273 on the abstract sets forth a permanent storm sewer easement granted by previous title holders to the above described property to the city of Iowa City. A copy of the showing of the permanent easement and construction easement description was attached to the preliminary title opinion. And on this thing, it shows that there's an easement. Now on the new map, that easement has disappeared, but she was never notified by the city that it's no longer an easement. So she, when they bought the house, she was told that the land next to him with the big drainage ditch was an easement and it's right there in her contract. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to get the explanation. That's all I'm going to ask for. You know, yeah, if I have to pay, but the fact that I sent photos of the one that was defective from the moment they poured it and they never responded, that's just not a good look. And, you know, I forgot about it for 10 years until they came back with their orange spray can, it put the arrow down, you know. And then meanwhile, I walk all over the city and just my neighborhood yesterday, I was walking. There's cracks everywhere and somehow they avoided it. But four of mine get singled out. I'm the only one on my street, I believe, that has any type of repair. So it just pisses me off. I'm pissed.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to stop paying. I'm going to stop paying my taxes.
We had an easement. Probably.
I'm kidding.
We built, or we had a patio built in our backyard. We built it for when Molly was graduating.
On an easement?
Yeah, I remember that.
On an easement, but well, we didn't even think about it, and it was in our backyard. So what? Why would we think it's an easement? But it was.
And see, you can't build permanent structures.
No, you can't. So we had to remove it.
See, that's what I don't understand, too, is my neighbor wanted to expand their garage to a two-car. They were told by the city, you can't do it because the second garage would extend over to the easement. So there was an easement at one point. Now, all of a sudden, it's gone. So I pay for the sidewalk repair rather than the city, I guess. Now, there's never been an easement, was what they're telling me, even though there has been an easement. That's what's so strange about this.
I don't know. Out here, we're, you know, first I was told this road coming up here isn't ours, and it belongs to so-and-so, and now I'm told, well, it's your problem if it needs repair. Well, if it isn't ours, why is it my problem?
Yeah, that's what I understand. And didn't they tell you couldn't put concrete on it, even if you wanted to?
I said once, I went to the casino once in the morning with Tommy. You know, both of us couldn't sleep. It was 3:00. It was too early to come in here. So we went to the casino. I came on the air in the morning and I said, hey, we were pretty lucky and now I can pave the road coming up here. You know, we're going to get a cement truck. And I mean, within an hour, I got called by the county. You can't do that. that's not yours, and the county, well, you didn't go to the supervisor. And I'm going, what's a joke? You know?
And can you imagine how much it would cost to do that?
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm paying $1,400. It's $350 for a little four. Yeah. I mean, it's,
exactly.
It's what just insane.
What do you think that
would cost? $40,000-$50,000.
Oh, me. Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, $100.
Yeah. It's just nuts.
Yeah. And but, I was telling guys, I'm just kidding.
But it was interesting, though, when I was talking to my neighbor who lives a couple doors down, he just said, he goes, you know, that first time they did this a while ago, it that never looked right. That thing just was never right. I'm like, tell me about it. I tried to, so we'll see. But so often, it just makes you wonder how many phone calls just get lost in the drift. You know, I called them twice, sent them a photo. I talked to a sec, but I never back then got to an engineer or anything. And I just wonder if it just got lost in the shuffle.
Probably.
Just, and you know, and then, of course, I moved on after, but I did make two calls saying this is not settling right. And now here I am 10 years later paying for it again.
Yeah, I don't know what you can do about it.
See, no, we'll see, I looked into our parking lot to see if we could, you know, like get it chip sealed or just a small thing of asphalt.
Yeah,
and couldn't get anybody that wanted to even bid on it. I said, "Oh no, we don't build anything on gravel." Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Because maybe it's not stable enough.
But if you offered them enough money, well, they'd probably do it.
It's also, we're on sand, and
sand road.
Well, yeah,
right over there. And Rob Sand.
The reason this building is safe is because we're on sand. Because the building, and I've had trouble with doors before on the transmitter in here because the building moves, and so there's give to it. That's why it's safe to be in a storm here. Because safer to be in a storm.
Underneath the desk.
Underneath, yeah, sure. Because the building moves.
There you go.
But
it's kind of like that John Hancock building in Chicago.
If you tried to put something in on this, I do believe it would break up eventually. I don't believe it would stay intact.
Uh-huh. Remember when we had Rob Sant? We had him on over the NCAA gambling stuff, didn't we?
Yeah.
When that... I think because wasn't he big on trying to find out why Iowa was the only state being singled out?
Yeah.
And then you used to always do that rock.
Yeah, obviously.
You'd do a spinoff of the song Roxanne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very clever.
Yeah. Well, there's my political contribution for the. Were you on fire last night during the elections?
Not at all.
I didn't even vote this time. Well, I'm not in either party. Could I have voted?
I don't think so.
I don't think I could have.
No, you got to declare a party.
I'm not in a party. I don't have to declare nothing.
Well, you have to.
To vote. Not,
and that's why they won't fix your sidewalk.
No, that's why we're... It's ridiculous, though, that they should let anyone vote in a primary. Why do I have to be in either one of the parties? I'm not ever going to be in either party. That's not something that...
You can choose Democrat or Republican at the poll.
That's not something that...
But you have to choose one or the other.
Yeah, I did drive-through voting, and they said, do you want the Republican ballot or Democratic ballot? And boom, right. That's what they did. So yep. You can... Yeah.
Oh, so you didn't necessarily, even though you're not in either party, because...
You don't have to register for
the party. Oh, okay, I guess I could
have. But you have to... You have to say, I want the Democratic ballot.
I was under the impression that I...
check it off on there.
See, I was under the impression I'd go there and they'd say, which party? I'm like, well, I'm not in either. Mm-mm. Well, you can't vote. Okay, that was my bad. Would my vote made a difference?
No.
It would not.
Not in this town.
Josh Turek, he won convincingly.
Yeah.
It was not... He almost doubled, didn't he? Did that surprise you?
Yeah, well, no, not really. His ads were pretty strong.
Because isn't the guy you ran against from around here?
Zach Walls.
Is he an Iowa City kid?
Yeah.
Or not kid. Well, compared to us, he's a kid.
Yeah. But, I mean, I didn't care whether either one of them was.
I didn't either.
To be truthful, I voted for Walls, but it didn't really matter to me.
But yeah. I'll vote for Turek in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay,
we better get back in our lane. Yeah. That's my fault. No, yeah. No. Yeah, even the day after an election, we better not talk about politics.
Yeah. Hello. It's your turn.
Hello.
I didn't pay $1 million for this thing to go silent.
Okay. Hey, Pat. Yeah. You said Randy Jackson, you're going to interview him?
No.
No.
I said he's my tax guy in the 1980 NCAA steeplechase champion. I talk to him a lot.
He thinks he's...
Is he local still?
Georgia. Yeah. Yeah. He's in real estate here, and he works...
Suter's wife, Ann's in our class.
What's that got to do with Randy Jackson?
Are you? Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Yeah, well, I'm not here seeing the connection from Randy to Ann.
No, what's, I'm not either.
I think Suter's getting a little defensive. What's going?
Yeah, what is going on, Paul?
He was in our class at City High.
Randy Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay, what year did you graduate? What year did you graduate from City High?
Oh, that's kind of private.
1976.
Okay, that would be right because I think Randy was a senior at Wisconsin in 80.
Why is that private, Paul?
Why is that private, Paul? You got people looking for you?
So you're younger than I am. I graduated in 67.
I graduated in 82.
Now you're either younger than I am or you were kept over many years. What is it?
Well, Steve, you went through Vietnam and all the civil rights.
Yes, I was.
Well, so did I. I was 3 and 4 years old, but I was still going through it.
Oh, yeah, in Iowa City, they were rolling storm sewers down, down to the river.
And those storm sewers were probably next to easements. Storm sewers were all connected to easements. Can't we assume that?
So, Paul, next question. Are you going to any of your reunion events next week?
I've heard various stories. Is there something going on at Joe's on Thursday?
There is.
There's always something going on at Joe's.
Up on the roof.
James Taylor. Good song.
Yeah. Carole King.
Yeah, but he's the one who...
Oh, boy.
Isn't he the one who kind of made it famous?
No, it was the Drifters, I think.
Drifters.
Oh. I like James Taylor's version better.
Mm-hmm.
On the roof.
Yep.
So you're going to be up at Joe's then?
I'm very busy right now.
Oh,
okay. Too busy.
Reunion, this is what he's saying.
What are you doing, Paul?
Yeah, what are you busy doing?
Paul?
Well, I could tell you a joke. I'm on the toilet.
No, we don't need to go there. I think.
Yeah.
Well, we don't. There's sometimes when information is not vital.
Do something in the shower.
Well, we don't need to go there either. Get us out of the bathroom, Paul.
Hey, no, Randy Jackson. He was a better person.
Nice guy.
Than a track star.
He's good. He's a good tax guy too. He does good work for me.
Who's he with? Private?
H&R Block.
Just our block. That H hasn't been lit up in like 4 years. It's just our block. Or actually,
He's also into real estate too.
Oh, cool. What do you do after track, do you know?
That I don't.
Well, I studied, he studied tax preparation.
Well, yeah, he did some coaching for a while, I know that. But, yeah, he's been doing tax work. He's been a tax specialist for a long time, and he is really good.
Cool.
I'll tell him you said hi.
I'll talk to Marv Cook once in a while.
All right, I'll tell Randy you said hi next time I see him.
Okay. I'll let you get to your gig.
All right.
All right.
That was Paul, everybody.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Oh, yeah, right.
Whatever. Are we better from that call?
No.
Suter?
Whatever.
City High Class of 76.
Doesn't sound like Paul is going to be making it.
Yeah, he didn't seem too interested in the thing at
not
Joe's.
Not really.
Oh, are you going to go down there?
I don't know.
Guys go down there and just tear that
Saturday thing at the Elks for sure.
Okay. Go down to Joe's and just tear that place up. Wouldn't that be fun?
This is just...
You can't get over that call, can you?
No.
That steeplechase guy seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We've really gone down the wrong path since then.
And the path was on an easement.
Yeah, it was on an easement.
Crap.
What if the city says, you know, we've been listening to you bitch on the radio. We're actually doubling your cost.
And do something about it, bitch.
And the stuff they redone looks, it's completely different color. And it's way more gray than.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it just looks so out of place.
They did mine, and it's.
Mine doesn't look anything like the previous at all. No.
Well, I mean, the real old concrete is much browner.
And I think it looks better.
No, I do too.
Yeah, this new stuff does. It, I'm just not that impressed with it.
Mine looks the same.
But I'm going to watch like a hawk to see what this does. Because, again, it was 3 or 4 days after settling, it was not looking right. And
yeah,
they just...
I want to go on record that I'm very happy with the job that the city did with my sidewalk.
Yeah, but have you got your bill yet?
Huh?
You got your bill yet?
Oh, yeah, I got it like a year ago.
How many did you have? I mean, because the last time I did it, they billed me just in the monthly, if I remember correct, just in my monthly water bill. I paid it off in like monthly installment. That's how I think I, because obviously I owe the city because I didn't hire a contractor. They
did. Did you tell them you owed? So did you bill the city?
What do you mean, did I build the city? No, how could I build the city?
They build the city on rock and roll.
Oh, I see what you mean. But I don't remember ever writing a check to some cement company. I was told that they just add it to your monthly. Well, we'll see. But again, I want to at least voice my frustration with this and just see if I can.
You have.
Yeah.
Just see. Well, I actually want to talk. We can't assume that every engineer that works there is listening.
I believe they are.
You think they all are listening?
Yes.
100% of them.
And that's why I say I'm extremely happy with you guys.
You think they're saying back to the Hawks?
Back to the Hawks, MF, or you're in trouble.
My one neighbor said, hey, if you need someone to testify, I'll tell them that thing never looked right from the moment. And I'm like, I'll let you know. Hopefully it gets to that stage, but it won't. But if I get a check for $1,400 or a bill for $1,400, I am not going to be happy.
Well, I imagine not.
So we'll see. But they said they won't even start billing for at least another month or so. So, and I will have to find out how, because I do not remember paying out of my own checkbook for the last repairs. But I know I paid for them, and I think I remember them telling me it was just added to your... Because we get the water bill every month. Mm-hmm. And mine's usually somewhere around $60. Maybe now it'll start going up to like, I don't know, we'll see. I'm not sure, but...
You know, back in the day when I was in college, our water bill would be $5 for 2 months.
Yeah, those days are gone. Yeah.
Boy, are they.
Even my Mid-America went from 79 to 93. It went up $14 a month, which, yeah, you know, it could be worse.
Well, it's going to be worse because they're asking for another raise.
Well, yeah, but mine, this one's, and the thing I got, it's set for, I can't remember how long they told me. I mean, the 79 was for like 3-4 years. It didn't change. I figured it was, I was just hoping it wouldn't go up dramatically, and it didn't. $14 a month is, you know.
That's not bad.
That's not that bad. Still getting it all for less than $100 a month, it's not bad.
I'm getting pet insurance. That's what I'm.
I've heard that's really expensive.
Well, I just paid just to get blood work done.
Well, anything with pets is just astronomical.
It was $591.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. It's so expensive to do anything with pets.
And I got to. I mean, they got to check them up today. Check them out today, rather.
Mm-hmm. No, it is really
expensive.
To make
sure that the medicine's working, but it's working.
And if you have to go to one of those. One of those ridiculous after-hours.
Like bright eyes, bushy tails? I did that one time, and
I
got hit hard. Oh, it was a couple grand.
The thing that pissed me off about them, and it did, they give you a list of things. They gave us a list of things they could do for the. And I said, well, how about just fixing the cat? You know? I mean, this isn't a car I'm bringing in. Well, we can, you know, rotate the tires. I said, I'm bringing in a cat. Well, how can I get the cat well? That just pissed me off that they...
So you're going to write a big check, Mr. Soboroff.
Well, then start off with that, you know. I mean...
No, pet care is just astronomical how expensive it is.
So what is to talk to about pet insurance? I don't think I've even heard about that.
Mace it's available.
Mace
yeah.
has got it. And
how many does he have dogs?
Yeah.
Do you have a couple dogs? Yeah.
3 dogs.
How much do you know how much he pays a month in pet insurance?
I do not.
I've heard it's not cheap.
Yeah. No.
The medical care
I've
for.
I've got a 10-year-old cat, so it's going to need some care.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said before, when I still had Buddy in Lakota, which is now getting to be almost 10 years ago, I was paying almost $100 a month just for their flea and ticks mm-hmm. stuff. That stuff was climbing in price. And that was 10 years ago. I can only imagine how much it is now.
Yeah, I'll see what it is, but, you know.
Yeah, you can only spend so much.
Yeah, that really knocked me. I just was...
$591.
Your cat and my sidewalk.
And the cat's getting better. I mean, the cat's fine now.
We figured it out.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not bitching about it. You got great care and everything.
Well, I'm still
it's
bitching.
It's just expensive.
You may not be bitching about your cat, but I'm bitching about my sidewalk, and it's my right as a patriot.
Hello.
As an American patriot.
Hello. Hey, good morning, Steve. Hey, we'd be lost without our pets many days. And we take our pet to a small clinic down in Kelowna, and some of the outlying areas are probably less expensive and give just as good service as Iowa City.
Uh-huh.
Have another friend goes to Riverside with their dog, and it doesn't seem to be terribly expensive. I don't know for sure, but
I've used the doctor in the Hills, and he's great. I've used the doctor here at the Cat Clinic. They've been basically the same cost, and they're great. And, I mean, you know, their medicine.
It's not cheap.
Yeah, it's not cheap. And, you know, hate to bring in politics, but it's gone up with the tariffs. Well, it has.
Yeah.
Because
well,
it's
it
not
has.
Produced here.
Of course it has.
You know, so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. It looks like you got a wonderful cat, Steve.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very proud of him.
You bet.
Thanks,
oh,
Bill.
Listen, we have one too, and we just love this cat. So yeah. We all have a good day.
No, I'm kind of interested in pet insurance. I'm sure it'd be ridiculous.
Mace's, well, the problem you have is Wopsy's 13.
Mace is coming in for the, you can talk to, he's coming in for the memorial
well,
on Friday.
Both dogs are about 12 and a half.
And 13. That's probably the first question they would ask on a form, I would imagine.
And I think both of our cats are 7.
What if they said they'd do it for $1,000 a month?
What?
No.
No.
$500 a month?
No.
Well, that's four animals. It's a little over $100 a month for, you know, that's four animals. They're not...
I don't think
probably not that. No,
I don't think it's that expensive. But
have you ever had cat insurance?
No.
Then what are you basing that on?
Insurance. I know people that have it, and they're not going to.
They wouldn't spend.
I don't know one person that's ever had pet insurance. Do you?
No, but I've never asked anybody.
Yeah, I guess I haven't either.
I had a friend in Muscatine that had it, and
but I bet it ain't like $25 a month for. I mean,
no,
oh my god,
you have four
no.
animals.
No,
my guess is you're
going to
be paying at least a couple.
It's not going to be that.
I bet it's going to be at least $200-$300 a month because you'd be insuring four animals and two of them are old, right?
Uh huh.
Hello.
Hey, I was just out. Brack here. I was just out walking the
hey,
dog,
Brack.
Walking down hard. Hey, walking down Hardy's neighborhood, checking out his sidewalk and the easements and the neighbors, and I happened to hear Paul on the radio, and I was disappointed that he's not going to Joe's, and I thought he was my ride.
Oh, because you're in his class, aren't you?
I am. Bird dog.
Well, I know it's a secret, so I won't ask you, even though Ann was in the same class, I won't ask you what year it was.
How does my sidewalk look?
Well, those big road carrots there, I had to, you know, step around them and everything.
Okay, yeah.
Evade them.
Yep, they're still there, so, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do love that your neighbor puts out a bowl of water for my dog.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
She does that. She's been doing that for a long time, and I'm sure the dog appreciates it.
Yeah, she's very, very nice lady. I've had a few chats with her.
Yeah, that's Barb. I got Barb on one side, Anna and Kim on the other side. Good neighbors. And Ed and Paula across the street.
Okay. Yeah, those are some nice places over there. Big lots.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, mine's a little bigger than I thought for the last 19 years.
Okay. So, Brack.
All right, I'll let you guys go.
Wait, Brack. Right. Now, yesterday you ate at a New Mexican place and you said it was good?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know if I can pronounce it.
Tulum.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that.
Where is it?
Yeah, it's in that old Korean barbecue Chinese restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Store /
okay.
Kennedy Plaza there. Daddy Corner from the Vine.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Kind of around on Bowery and Gilbert there.
No, right where you're talking about. That Korean restaurant used to be good. Yep,
very good. They got all the old booths from El Ranchero. It's very festive, very colorful.
I'll have to try it out.
It just looked like they need some business. But, they got a Honduran menu and very, very good.
All right.
Very personable people. They called us amigos.
Okay.
All right.
I'll definitely try. I love trying new restaurants.
Hey, good enough. Thanks, Brack.
All righty.
Take care, buddy.
You betcha.
Yep.
No,
yeah,
I'll
you too. Bye.
Average average pet insurance cost is about $62 per month for dogs and $32 per month
that's
for
average.
Cats.
That ain't cheap. So that's average, meaning.
So how much is cats?
$32.
Okay, so yours would be probably $400 or $500.
That just adding that up at the low end would be $200, and probably the high end would be probably $300 or $400. Yeah, maybe five.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it, in fairness, depends on the age of the animals. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's going to probably be work against you, but should look into it. I'm curious to see what they tell you.
Because as I say, you pay for the first. Getting the dog or cat, you pay a lot up front, then you don't pay very much at all for a long time, and then when the dog or cat gets old, then you start paying a lot of money again. So there's kind of a...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really spend a lot of money with Buddy and Lakota at the end because there's nothing they could do. They were just dying, they were just dying of old age. And there's, it's just like humans. When somebody dies suddenly at 97, what did they die of? Well, I'm guessing old age. And that's, Buddy was 16, Lakota was almost 15, and they were big, they were 80 and 70. Most dogs that size don't live that long. Now, the last year and a half for Buddy was not good, but I don't know if there was nothing surgery or anything could have done for it. So I don't know what you do in that type of situation.
Yeah,
well, I don't know.
You should look. I'm just kind of curious to see
find
out. Well,
I kind of am curious because, we got hit with a 300 and something bill in Hills, and then the most recent cat bill was, I can't remember how much that one was. But that's a lot.
I mean, it's at least worth looking into.
Yeah, it is.
And if you can get it,
if it's $32 a month for...
If you can get it, all those insured for less than $300 a month, that might be something to consider. I'll be surprised. I'll be surprised, but hopefully it works out. I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Hello.
Hey, guys. I think Captain may have beat me to the punch, but I think I pay about $30 a month for a dog.
$30 a month?
For insurance.
So that's below the average.
What does it cover?
It's supposed to cover all, emergency stuff. So it doesn't cover the routine, checkups, but it's supposed to cover anything besides that, including things like cancer or all the expensive stuff.
Uh-huh. Well,
What about meds?
I don't think it covers meds.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's
pretty reasonable, though.
Yeah, not bad.
It's about $350, between $300 and $400 a year at that price.
Can I ask a follow-up from Monday's show?
Yeah.
Captain was in the middle of the story. Three people have camped out beside his house. And then the topic switched, and we never heard what happened. For all I know, those three people are still living there by Captain. I was wondering if he could tell us what happened.
I made the city. Well, the city finally came after I had to talk them into it. And got them. Yeah, they were living.
They bounced them.
Living on the.
Yeah, because didn't you came back and said the city reluctantly came and reluctantly bounced them.
Yeah, reluctant. Yeah. But they're asking me. I don't know where they're going to go. Well,
that's not your concern.
I don't know. They're building a fire.
So now,
seriously, they were making a fire. I didn't do any. I got home and they're there and there's a tent there. And I'm going, what the hell is this? And Jan was upset. We got to get him out of here. I said, okay.
And it's not an easement.
I'll call the city.
It's your property.
It's your
property.
My property, our property. And I called up, we can't, right now. And there was something going on. There was a shooting and all the cops were. And I said, okay. So, I understood. And they had a good reason they couldn't get out there then for that. But then they built a fire, you know, that night. And I'm calling back again. I said, they just built a fire, you know. Well, I don't know where they're going to go at this time of night. I said, I don't care. They got a fire going, you know. Get them there. So they finally, you know.
So they got them that night? They bounced them?
That night after, like, you know, an hour, you know, and we're watching them. And then they came and they told, well, they didn't bounce them. They told them put out the fire. And they made them put out the fire, and they said, you got to leave here in the morning. You got to leave. And they told me, we told them to leave in the morning because we don't know where they're going to go.
Uh-huh.
And then they go.
Well, thank you, Captain. I'll be able to sleep at night now that I know the end of the story.
Yeah, just don't sleep on his land.
I'm sleeping right now.
Exactly.
All right.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
But as the cop leaves, he goes, be sure to lock all your doors.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I've never been able to successfully put up a tent, to be brutally candid with you. Not that I've tried a lot.
I've done it with other people, never by myself. It's not
bleak.
Easy.
Well,
it's not easy.
When I was younger, I pitched a tent at night, but.
Yeah,
that's
I was
a
waiting for the first one who was going to use that.
That's a pup tent.
Clever metaphor. Yeah, I'm sure you did.
I never even thought of that. I got that off of
the
Beavis.
Lone Ranger.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Yeah. That pup to tent.
Yeah.
Didn't they make a comeback?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's been as big a.
Well, it was on Paramount Plus, and it was they ran it on Comedy Central. Yeah, some of the episodes are pretty damn good because they're middle-aged in some of them.
Hmm.
And
I haven't seen
them. They still have the same T-shirts?
Yeah.
Kind of like Pat.
AC/DC and AC/DC and who else? I've got probably 300 T-shirts.
Yeah.
I wear like probably 5 different ones into here. I wear this one, my Grateful Dead one.
Yeah, I got a lot of them.
No, I've got easily 300.
I got 8 of these. I never wear the same one.
Oh, I've got tons of your guys' stuff.
But I do have 8 of them.
I've got so many T-shirts that I won't begin to ever wear. They're just stacked up in piles in my closet and what have you. But a lot of them are itchy and just never wear them. So I'm trying to think was really nothing else. We've covered anything related to Hawkeye sports, since track and field is the only thing still going on right now. I'm trying to think if there's any interesting rumors.
Not really.
I haven't heard anything that interesting.
Just the both the men and the women have a game on the 15th of November.
Odd that they're playing on the same day.
It's unfortunate.
I just think it's. I don't really.
The women tip off at 3, and there hasn't been a time set for the men, but yeah.
But it prevents some from going to bowl.
It obviously isn't our decision.
No, and I get it. There's way more factors. But to me, it doesn't make sense to have the Iowa men and women playing on the same day at faraway sites. I mean, it happens enough in the Big Ten, you know, it seems like. But again, I mean, the women are playing Vanderbilt, and the men are playing
Creighton.
Creighton, that's right. Okay, do you think Iowa goes 2-0, 1-1, 0-2? I couldn't begin to tell you.
I'll go 1-1.
Vanderbilt's good in both.
They're real good.
They're good in both sports.
They got one of the best scorers. Their women got one of the best.
And she's definitely coming back?
Yeah.
Okay. No, they're usually pretty good in multiple sports. And we even know they're good in football. They gave Iowa a run for it's money in the bowl game, so.
Let's put it this way. If the Iowa women are able to beat the
that'd be a nice
Vanderbilt
win.
Team, it'd be a
that's
real
a nice,
nice
quality win that'll really,
real
good,
nice win.
Really look good on their resume. Okay, do you think the Iowa women match their 15-3?
No.
I don't either. And it's a lot easier to say no because they could go 14-4 and it'd still be great. I would say no. I think the 15-3 gets overlooked because of the second round.
Yeah, it does.
It
doesn't diminish
not
in
to me
my
at all.
Mind.
I mean, 15-3, those were Caitlin-type records when she was here at Iowa.
Maybe not even as good.
Oh, there were some.
These are better than Caitlin.
I think they had one that was better, but no, Caitlin, I think they went 12-6 one year, 10, maybe 10-8 her first year. But no, 15-3 was a great accomplishment that
unfortunately, number two seed.
That unfortunately gets overlooked because of the loss to UCLA and then the second round loss to Virginia.
Well, it wasn't a loss to UCLA. It was a...
A trouncing.
It was a shellacking.
Yes. I mean, it got to the point where it got a little silly at the end. Okay, they're down by 49.
Hello.
Wow. Okay.
Must have been a very important call.
Well, they're back.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there. Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to report that the Iowa baseball stadium is under deconstruction at the present time.
Yes, it is. They're redoing the press box.
The press box is gone, and I want to call it the bowl seating, B-O-W-L, bowl seating, is all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have stands down the right field line and left field line. Known as the most uncomfortable stands in the Big Ten.
Okay. I'm going to go check it out after I have lunch today. I'm going to go check it out and maybe take a couple of photos.
Yeah.
So
the sidewalk between there is all closed up. I don't know how football fans and thousands of them walk past. Or I don't know how they're going to get to the clinic. They will figure it out. They got 3 months to figure it out.
Oh, yeah. They'll have it. They'll have it done by.
I would hope so.
Yeah. They'll have the press box done by then. But it was long overdue. They really needed to get that press box updated.
Amen, buddy.
Yep. Thanks for the
Great
update.
Job, guys.
All right.
Hey, thanks, man.
You bet. All right.
But yeah, that was long overdue. I'm actually going to lunch over in Coralville, and then I will. I'm going to drive up there and maybe get a photo just to see. So he's basically saying that they've torn the whole thing down. I figured they would have already started the building process. I don't know much about construction, but it'll be nice though to get that field updated. It really needed to.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you,
from
watching you, UCLA's field didn't look that great for a program of its stature. Their stadium looked a little outdated.
Well, their facilities in general
are not very good.
They're not very good.
No, they're not. I mean, Pauley Pavilion.
Oh, it's so terrible.
It's a dump.
And the Rose Bowl, is a
I was underwhelmed.
Total dump.
I was the best part about the Rose Bowl was the scenery outside of it.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Again, I remember the press box reminding me of that old roller coaster at Riverview in Des Moines. Just it was wooden. You could hear it kind of cracking as you walked around. It was just really underwhelming, the press box. I was surprised. But no, the scenery outside of the Rose Bowl
beautiful.
Was just beautiful.
And the tailgate on the golf course was a lot of fun.
And the weather that day, everything about that day was great except for the game.
And it was over instantly.
Yeah. I missed the first touchdown because I had the nerve to put my computer bag below my desk.
Breaking news.
Yeah, I thought it was worth getting on before you guys get done.
Thank you, Tommy Lang. The Iowa Letter Winners Club and the University of Iowa Athletics Department announced its 2026 Hall of Fame class today. 37th Hall of Fame class includes Kim Baker El Abiad, women's gymnastics, Klaus Bergstrom, men's tennis, Diane DeMiro Simmons, field hockey, Amy Herrig Tanney, women's basketball, Matt McDonough, men's wrestling, Janet Moylan Ritter, volleyball, and Cedric Shaw of football.
Good.
All right. Yeah.
They needed to put Cedric in. I think they may be bending the rules because didn't the Hall of Fame, didn't you have to be like an All-American or something? I'm going to have to find out about that because I've even written stuff before. They needed to put Cedric Shaw in the Hall of Fame. I know there's specific guidelines, but maybe because you know he never made All-American.
Nobody is our all-time rusher,
all-time leading rusher, and you can make a case greatest running back in program history.
Oh, of course,
a strong
absolutely
case. He was really good. Yep. He was good enough to keep Tavian Banks on the bench for 3 years.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, and a lot of Iowa fans I remember weren't happy at the time, and I remember saying to this one guy, he just ran for almost 1,500 yards this season. What are you complaining? And Tayden got it when Tavian was healthy. He was able to get them both in there. I mean, that game against Washington, the Sun Bowl, they both ran for over 100 yards. Cedric was a horse, though. He could run over you or he could make you miss.
Oh, he was great.
Remember 21-7 win at Michigan State in 1995? 42 carries for 250 yards. You know, everyone talked about Hayden and the exotics. And all he did was go Cedric left and right. And we asked him afterwards, he goes, hey, you scratch where it itches, and it was itching right there with Cedric today. You know, Hayden, yeah, he loved the exotics, but he could also be plain vanilla if that's what it took to win. And that's all it was.
Hayden liked to win.
That's all it was Cedric Shaw between the tackles. getting six here, four there, five there, seven there, and they beat them 21-7. I'll never forget that game.
And we had a big victory up at Madison one of those years, come-from-behind victory. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no.
We was there.
Was that 1991?
I think that sounds
That was
right.
before Cedric, but 1991 was the first.
Oh, I thought Cedric had a big touchdown.
No, Cedric's first year was 92. He was redshirted in 91. Oh, wait, no, Cedric's first year was 93. His first year was 92 on the roster. Then he redshirted. Then he played 93, 94, 95, 96. Because Cedric.
Then I can't remember what year it was.
Was that Mike Saunders when Mike Saunders scored the touchdown to beat Barry? In the first, it was the first time Wisconsin had come close to beating Iowa in a while, and it was Barry, I think, his second year. I think Iowa won like 13-10. Saunders scored a late touchdown.
Yeah, it could have been
and
Mike Saunders.
Saunders was from Milton. Saunders was from Milton, Wisconsin, so he grew up right around Madison. So I remember that, but that was the first sign that the Badgers were coming.
And by 93, come they did.
And by 93, they were the Big Ten champion and the Rose Bowl champion, whereas Iowa, you know, played in the Alamo Bowl that year and got beat soundly. That's when Barry, you know, early 90s is when Barry started soaring.
Well, he did too.
Man. And now they're just a shell of what they used to be. And I'm not convinced they're going to be that good this year, are you?
No.
And then if he doesn't win this year, he's done.
Yeah, I think he has to be.
I'm surprised he actually made it through this year. But they got rid of the AD, so no, it'll be. I don't look for much from Wisconsin. I got to see it again to believe it. Whereas in the old days, I always just assumed they'd win anywhere from 9 to 12 games.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. No, I don't think their schedule isn't very hard this year. I don't believe.
I mean, that'll help. That'll help. I mean, last year it was brutal, but
it was terrible.
I mean, Iowa's schedule was hard last year too, but I don't know. This schedule this year may even be more difficult for Iowa. Plus, remember, last year Iowa had a bunch of players back on defense. This year they don't. They got to replace nine of them, nine key contributors on defense. So we shall see.
Let me see Wisconsin's schedule before we
bail
out here.
I got lunch at 11:15. I got a lunch date, Captain. Yeah. Kind of like you and Suter.
Woman?
No.
Oh.
Nope.
Let's see. Wisconsin football. Make sure you don't have their schedule. There we go. Thank you. Okay. Use cookies. Congratulations.
God, I hate that. Man.
Okay. Start off with, well, that's kind of a tough one. Notre Dame.
They're going to lose.
Western Illinois, win. Eastern Michigan,
win.
2-1. At Penn State, probably a loss.
Yeah, I'm going to say. And they could beat Notre Dame, but my guess is they won't.
I'll say 2-2. If they do, they're going to be better than
and
you
I just
think.
Don't see that. I just don't see that.
Okay, 2-2 versus Michigan State at Madison. They could win that one.
Yeah, I would pick them to win that one. I think Michigan State, I mean, first year, it's going to be hard for them to be really competitive.
Okay, so let's say 3-2 at UCLA. It's tough to go out west for these teams.
I don't have much faith in Wisconsin, so I'm going to give that to UCLA.
They
got a new
too.
Coach who's a highly respected coach.
3-3. Versus USC in Madison.
I'm giving that to USC.
3-4.
Now, of course, I mean, easily.
Yeah,
if they beat USC, it was Madison. No, I wouldn't be stunned. So no. I'm just kind of.
Okay, at Iowa, they're
going to
lose.
I'm going to pick Iowa.
3-5 for Wisconsin.
Even though we don't know much about Iowa.
Okay,
now, if that was Iowa and Madison,
tougher.
I would maybe pick Wisconsin.
Rutgers at Madison, win.
Win.
So 4-5 at Maryland, win.
Yeah, let's give them that one since we kind of went the other way on a couple others that you could have picked them. So
5-5 at Purdue, win. Purdue's not.
Purdue's not very good, but we don't know.
But neither is Wisconsin.
But neither is Wisconsin. So I'll give them that 6-5.
And then versus Minnesota at Madison.
Well, that's fact at Madison. I mean, so benefit of the doubt, they could maybe be 7-5, 8-4. If he goes 7-5, does that save his job? I guess it probably would.
I think it probably would.
I guess it probably would, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hello.
Hey, that real quick, that Notre Dame game is being played at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know if that makes a big difference.
Oh, it could make a difference.
Well,
Notre Dame also has to replace
it. I know they're playing up at Green Bay for that one.
Notre Dame also has to replace its top two running backs and its quarterback, but Notre Dame's just a better program right now than Wisconsin, so that's why I would give Notre Dame the better. And there'll be some Notre Dame fans at that game, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool, though, to play
it
there.
I just didn't know if that would factor into what you were thinking there at all.
No, I still would pick.
It should be a good ball game, though.
Yeah, could be.
Okay, that's it. Just wanted to throw that in there.
All right, man. Thanks, appreciate it.
Driving across Nebraska is so boring.
Oh, God.
You guys were there.
Good. Have some caffeine. Stay awake.
Okay. Also, there was this hostage taking in California at a bank, and the hostages have all been freed. The suspect is dead.
Neutralized? Good.
Yeah. So that was going on since yesterday. So that just came over now. Hello.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, back to that UCLA women's shellacking that we took. I like that UCLA coach a lot. She always seems to be a class act. But as I remember that, maybe you guys remember differently, she kind of left the top seven players, and especially the starters, into the bitter end.
She did.
And it just seemed like she was really running up the score. I don't know if she's trying to develop their personal statistics, what was going on that day, but that wasn't a good look.
No, it wasn't.
Probably playing for postseason seeding, too.
Yeah.
I think that was probably part of it. No, I get you. I was surprised they kept him in so long, but the other side of me says, come on, Iowa, show some resistance.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. But I thought, too, you know, gosh, that could have really backfired.
Yes.
Beth sprained her ankle terribly or something at the end.
That, of course, yep, you're right about that. That would be the risk.
Or Kiki, or whatever her name is, same thing, you know, a bad injury there at the very end. Boy, that would have... but yeah, you know, it's like you're up 30 with about 5 or 6 minutes to go in the game. Why don't you empty your bench? You know, you feel for those players at the end of the bench too.
Yeah. Well, they didn't.
But they didn't. No. Yeah. Anyway, hey, thanks a lot.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. No, I do remember that. They did. They poured it on, and didn't they kind of keep a press going a little bit too?
They did.
Yeah. I think they knew they just had Iowa in complete meltdown, and they just wanted to just keep pouring it on. She is highly respected, though, like the caller said. It seems like a lot of people, Carrie Close, seems like a lot of people respect her, and she's really been a good ambassador for the women's game.
Yeah.
You know, so, but.
Carrie Close, my wayward song.
No, that's
Spotify,
different.
That's Kansas.
Carrie Close, my.
Yeah.
But that's, remember, Spotify, they're listening.
Yeah, but that's not the lyric.
Oh, so we're safe?
I would say
Spotify's always lurking, ready to pounce, ready to end dreams.
Okay.
All right, we done? Yeah.
Thanks again to Luke Knapp, right?
Luke Knapp,
thanks,
thank
Luke,
you.
For coming on. Really found it interesting learning a little bit about the steeplechase.
No, it was fun to talk
and
to.
And thank you, Iowa, for setting it up on very short notice. Yeah. And everybody, and Captain, when do we have any rain coming?
We got a lot, supposedly.
When?
Thursday night. Friday night storms, skip
okay,
Saturday,
but are we looking
Sunday.
At, what are the odds? I mean, what are the percentages?
70.
Seriously? Okay, 70. God. Yeah. When's the last time it rained?
It's been a while.
Well, it ain't going to be, we have the
It rained
still.
A little the other day, but it wasn't enough
Not
to
enough.
Make any difference.
Not enough. No. My neighbor planted some new plants for me in the front, so I've been having to water, but I'm not going to start watering my grass. That's just too expensive.
Well.
So we do have rain coming, though. So tomorrow night, it's going to be raining.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Okay. Good. Tommy Lang, Captain Steve are next with police reports. HawkFanatic.com. Check it out. It's free. KCJ.